الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تواضع لله رفعه الله او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala has made the fitrat, the nature of insan, such that he is naturally attracted to things that are attractive. That is part of his fitrat, part of his nature. But not the same thing appears to everyone in the same manner. To somebody, something is attractive and something is not so attractive. The same thing is not really anything that catches his eye. And another aspect might catch his eye to somebody else that's not really worth paying attention to. So this difference carries on. People have their different natures, different preferences. But as mu'mineen, as believers, as servants of Allah Ta'ala, and as those who their focus is the akhirat, not the short life of this world. The short life of this world is just a passing phase in which an opportunity has been given to each person to make his akhirat. This is the short temporary life in which we have a chance to make the everlasting life. So for a person who has this focus, that this is a very temporary time that we are here in dunya, we don't really have much time to be here, and we have to make our way to the akhirat. That's the everlasting life. So I cannot jeopardize that everlasting life for the glitter and glamour of this short temporary life. So now what's going to make that life of the hereafter? So he gets attracted to that which is going to make the everlasting life. Things that will now become a means of his betterment in the hereafter, that is what will attract him more than anything else. Part of dunya, whatever Allah Ta'ala has halal, ni'mat Allah has blessed him with, he too will enjoy. He too will benefit from the things Allah has blessed him with. But his heart and mind will be focused on that which will make his everlasting life. So now one is the glitter and glamour of dunya. All this is going to perish one day. Many times it perishes in front of our eyes. Many times we get very attracted to certain things. A short while later, some days later, some weeks, months, maybe years later, we don't look at it. Once upon a time, maybe 40 years ago, 50 years ago, so now there was a certain style of jewelry. And people used to have that kind of jewelry made, and maybe if somebody is getting married, they'll give it to their daughter. And that was now a very big thing. It would be admired, and it would be given great amount of care and whatever else. Now with the passing of time, now somebody, their father gave that to them when they were getting married, some woman. Now she's decided to give that same jewelry set to her great-granddaughter, make her wear it on her wedding day. That jewelry that was now manufactured and designed in the 1960s, 1950s maybe. So now she wore that and it was admired greatly on her wedding day. Now she wants her granddaughter, great-granddaughter, now somebody to wear that on her wedding day. She says, Bichara, Dadi lost her mind. Who wears this now? This is like forget old-fashioned. Even the word old-fashioned also will be feeling shy to be applied to this. This has gone so outdated. Okay, it's valuable in terms of what the gold is in there. But this design is all outdated now. Nobody ever wears this. Feeling ashamed to wear it. Why? Because that whole glitter and glamour, that's dunya. The ever-changing dunya. And 50 years now from now, what today is like the be-all and end-all of it. And this is the real style. And prepared to pay 10 times the price because I'll be the first one to have it. Because I will be the first one. Nobody else got it now. So it doesn't matter if I pay double the price, triple the price. But now everybody will be really astounded. And I was the first one to wear it. But 25 years down the line, nowadays the way the things are changing, maybe 5 years down the line also. Say, no, this is all outdated. Nobody wears this anymore. This is dunya. What one day is such a something that the heart is now so deeply attached to it. Okay, maybe the value is there. The value is saying, no, you have to now melt the whole thing, make something new out of it, something that's up to date. So all this is the nature of these attractions of dunya, that what is so attractive today, tomorrow you don't look at it. So the real attraction is that which will take one to the akhirat. And what is of true value in dunya as well. In one dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, Allahumma aghnini bil ilm wa zayyinni bil hilm. Ya Allah, make me wealthy with knowledge. This is true wealth, knowledge of deen. And Ya Allah, adorn me with hilm, with tolerance. This is adornment. Person can have the most best kind of clothing and the most stylish shoe, and he can be wearing the most smart watch and having the most advanced phone in his hand and driving the smartest car. But none of this is adornment in reality. It's ni'mat. If it came in a halal way, a person is using it in the correct manner, using it the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught, alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mat to him. But it's not adornment. It doesn't make a person in any way. It doesn't add any value to the person. It might add value on paper. Maybe this is his worth. But as a person, doesn't add any value. And that is why sometimes, despite all the wealth in the world also, but because of the person's conduct, because of his manner, because of his ways, because of whatever other issues are in his life, nobody wants to come anywhere near him. It's only out of fear that they respect him, because he perhaps wields some power as well. Otherwise, their hearts are cursing him. So there's no value came out of that. That value comes in the person from that which Allah has made valuable. And that is sifat. Person becomes valuable with valuable qualities, with values. It's values that make him something. And values that adorn him. So in this dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, وَزَيِّنِّي بِالْحِلْمِ. Ya Allah, adorn me with tolerance. This is a great adornment. It is far more greater adornment than all the jewelry of the world and all the fancy things of dunya. So this is what makes a person valuable, values. And in the terminology of Shariat, it's called akhlaq. Akhlaq brings adornment. To the extent that a person is adorned with akhlaq, he is beautified, he is adorned. And if he is devoid of akhlaq, then nothing is going to, all the things of dunya, whatever, however he tries to adorn himself with material things, valueless. In terms of the person, valueless. It's value outside, it's value in the hands, it's value in the bank maybe, it's value in terms of material things, but not value in terms of the person. The person is carrying a 100,000 rand phone in his hand, what value it added to him as a person? And somebody who's carrying, as they call it now, they say a dumb phone. Does that make him dumb? He might be far more intelligent also than that person. And far more smarter than the person with the smartest phone in his hand. And he might be far more adorned than this person can ever dream about. That dumb phone doesn't make him dumb. And the smartphone doesn't make anybody smart. It is the values within the person that make him what he is. So it's akhlaq. Akhlaq is what makes the person valuable. And akhlaq is what lives on. The akhlaq of a person after he is gone from dunya, but what legacy of akhlaq he left, that lives on. And people then get inspired from that. People take lessons from it. People derive inspiration from it. And as far as a person's material things, whoever enjoyed it, they enjoyed it. End of story. Nobody else even knows about it. Nobody benefits from it and nothing. Khalas. So this is what we have to adorn ourselves with. Adorn ourselves with akhlaq. And from all the aspects of akhlaq, one of the very, very fundamental aspects, which is actually a root of many other aspects of akhlaq, and that is tawazu. Humility. To the extent that a person has developed humility, then many other sifat, many other aspects of akhlaq become not second nature, become first nature to him. When the person has true humility, then hilm, tolerance becomes first nature to him. When he has true humility, then abdiyat and servitude to Allah Ta'ala, that becomes his first nature. When a person has true humility in him, then controlling anger becomes a very easy thing. These are all things that are highly emphasized in Shariat. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ The Quran Sharif highlights it. Allah praises those who know how to suppress their anger. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say they don't ever get angry. But where it's not meant to be vented, they know how to suppress it. But where this stems from, it stems from tawazu. That if a person is devoid of tawazu, then you'll see how all the flowery languages will come out. All the hurtful things will be said. All the degrading comments will be made. All the humiliating lines will become now just so natural to him. But where it stems from, the root issue, it's either tawazu and humility, or in the absence of that, it'll be pride. And to the extent of that pride, then all these other issues then become the order of the day. So in the Quran Sharif also, Allah Ta'ala highlights this issue of tawazu. In the ayat of the Quran Sharif, in many, many ayat, but in this particular ayat that was recited, where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Ibadur Rahman. Ibadur Rahman, Allah is speaking about it. Allah is saying the servants of Rahman, subhanallah. One is somebody who is now got some position in dunya, might be the mayor of the town, and then he puts his hand on somebody's shoulder, says, my man. Subhanallah, that person already, he'll pick up a few kilos. And maybe he might feel like he's floating already. Why? Because the mayor called him, if for the president had to call him my man, if he's a weak-hearted fellow, he might even have an attack or whatever. He gets so thrilled and overjoyed, one person of dunya called him mine. But that sometimes is just a political statement. Is there something for the sake of some, well, tomorrow this person has got a lot of influence, so by calling him my man, there's some votes behind that statement. There's all some motive of dunya behind much of it. But he forgets about all those realities, and just because somebody of dunya called him mine, he's already gone flying high. Subhanallah, Allah Rabbul Alameen, Allah Ta'ala is saying, Ibadur Rahman, my servants, servants of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. What a great honor for those whom Allah Ta'ala refers to them as His servants. But now, who are the servants of Allah Ta'ala? Who is Allah calling mine, Ibadur Rahman? And when you say mine, but Allah by means of His attribute of Rahman, the most beneficent, Allah is saying, they are the servants of Rahman. The first quality, there are a whole list of qualities of these Ibadur Rahman, but the first aspect Allah mentions about them, obviously they are Ibadur Rahman, they are the servants of Allah Ta'ala. The servants of Allah Ta'ala are not people who are shirking in their deen, shirking in their fara'is, committing haram. They are living a life of taqwa. But now the highlights in their life. First aspect Allah mentions, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا That this Ibadur Rahman, they are so humble entirely that their very walk shows their humility. It's not a made up and something that's a pretense is their very natural part of them, that yamshuna ala al-ardi hauna, they walk with utmost humility on the earth of Allah Ta'ala. Their very walk is affected by that, because humility is in the heart. This tawazu, the place of it is the heart. That is where it starts from, and that is where it's, otherwise it's a pretense. If it's not in the heart, then it's a pretense. Then it is just something that has been for the moment, planned, put in place, just to now, for that moment, for whatever the need is, to impress somebody, or to give certain, gain some favor from somewhere, whatever other dunya motive might be, it's just an outward thing. The real place of it is the heart. But when it's there in the heart, it manifests itself everywhere. It'll manifest itself in the way the person speaks. It'll manifest itself in his walk, in his talk, in his behavior, in his actions, in his reactions, in everything. So this first quality Allah mentions about the Ibadur Rahman is their humility, which highlights what is the reality of this, how great it is, how essential it is, how fundamental it is. And this doesn't come by just listening about it, by just speaking about it one time. No, it comes with an effort. There was a very great effort that was made, where people tried to learn how to inculcate this tawazu in their lives. They submitted themselves to the supervision of their seniors, took their advice and guidance. They spelt out all their issues, all their deficiencies, and whatever their manner of dealing with things are, and then whatever they were subjected to try and correct that, they happily accepted it. Sometimes some very, very difficult tasks, not difficult in the sense of difficult because it's difficult to physically manage it, but difficult on the nafs, very difficult on the ego. Very, very difficult on the ego. But they were ready for it. Why? Because they wanted the treatment. That this malady of pride has to be treated. Because this is a cancer. And if this cancer is not treated, it's going to destroy a lot of things. In that pride, a person sometimes starts blurting things. He loses his deen, loses his dunya, everything goes. So therefore, the aspect of tawazu was learned. It was people where they went through the mill in order to learn it. Unfortunately, the tragedy is, we are sometimes not even prepared to spend some time to learn about it. One is to actually learn it, to bring it into our lives. But it starts by at least learning about it. Learning what's the importance of it. How fundamentally important it is. How necessary it is. To learn about what was the tawazu of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the fountainhead of all akhlaq, and who was at the highest level of every goodness. What was his tawazu? What was the tawazu of the sahaba? This is learning about it. It's not learning it. This is phase one. It's still the theory. The person goes into medical school, so the first 2 years or 3 years, whatever it is, you see, now that's a theory time, but then he's still in medical school, but the rest of half of it is now he's still learning. Now learning how to do it. So first there was learning about it. But now he's gone through the hospital and non-stop for years on end now. He's practicing. There's a separate thing altogether. He learned the theory and he wants to start doing his own thing. He finished graduate. They say, sorry, you still can't practice on your own. You still need the housemanship. You still have to learn about it. You still have to learn it. You've learned about it. You still have to make it part of you. But now it starts off by learning about it, reading about the tawazu and the humility of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Kiram, the awliya of the Ummah, the pious personalities. This is also a very effective way of making some, of bringing that, some inkling of it in our hearts and inspiring us to also start becoming truly people of tawazu. Although you don't even know about it, but you're going to learn it itself. So just to very briefly, in the little time that's left, to just touch a little bit on some examples the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram, our pious predecessors. These are just, we can't even call it a glimpse. It's less than a glimpse. But it's just to try and learn a little bit about it. Less than a fraction of a drop in the ocean. Regarding Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, so nobody who is anywhere close could never come anywhere close to the level of akhlaq that he displayed, despite being the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation, despite being the personality who ba'adas khuda buzruk tu'i qissa mukhtasar, after Allah Ta'ala was the rank and maqam of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and none other, despite that he was the most humble person that could ever have been. And it was the same abdiyat that when he went to the highest level, beyond where any angel reached also, the level of on Mi'raj, on that occasion, that journey of Mi'raj, which started off with the Isra, from Makkah Mukarramah to Baytul Maqdis, Allah describes it in the Quran Sharif, Subhanalladhi Asra bi'abdihi, laylam minal masjidil haram, ilal masjidil aqsa. Glory be to Allah Ta'ala, who took his abd. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had every other title. But that occasion when he went to the highest level, Allah Ta'ala refers to him by the title of abd, the slave of Allah Ta'ala, the most humble servant of Allah Ta'ala, went to the highest level. And therefore Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. The one who will humble himself for Allah alone. Not for any other purpose. Not to be called humble. Or for people to think about him to be humble. Allah must regard him as humble. Allah will elevate him. He humbles himself for Allah Ta'ala. Allah will elevate him. So just to get a very brief glimpse, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was once asked that what would Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam do at home? Now, home is a relaxed place, and many a person who outside has a certain picture of himself, at home the reality is there. Sometimes it is a very different picture. Outside sometimes, you see, there's not a better person to be found anywhere. And at home, they say, ask us. We know the story. So now Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who knows the home, who's the inside person, she's being asked, how would Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam conduct himself? You see, kana rajulam min ar-rijal, what are you asking? He used to conduct himself like an ordinary person. He was the highest of every human being and every creation of Allah Ta'ala. But at home, kana rajulam min ar-rijal, he would conduct himself like any other person, very ordinary person. And then, among those things, what he used to be doing? Kana yakunu fi mihnati ahlihi. He would help his household people with their chores. Faida hadarati salah, kharaja ila salah. Then suddenly when the azan would be called out, he would just leave everything where it is, he would move to salah immediately. As soon as the azan is called, he would move for salah. But he would help out in the household chores. In some ahadith, there's some details about it also. Yaqsifu na'lahu. If his shoes required mending, who are we talking about? We're not talking about some ordinary, some big shot of our times and dunya. We're talking about that personality whom Allah Ta'ala has given the highest level. Ana sayyidu wuldi adama yawm al-qiyamati wala fakhr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, entire humanity, I'm the leader of them. Allah has made me such. On the day of qiyamah, everyone will be under my leadership. And I'm not saying this out of pride. I have to make it known because Allah has ordered me to do so. But despite that, if his shoes needed mending, there were others waiting to do it, but he wouldn't even tell them, they wouldn't know about it. He sat down and mended it himself. His shoes needed mending. يَخْسِفُ نَعْلَهُ وَيَحْلُبُ شَاتَهُ. He needed to milk his goat for some milk. Very menial task. Didn't ask anybody. Didn't wait for somebody. Didn't start issuing orders and instructions. He went himself and did it himself. And basaman, very, very, always smiling, light-hearted. At home, this is how he conducted himself. Basaman, dahakan. All this stemmed out of that tawazu and humility. Person without that tawazu, he'll walk in, he wants to be given that Mr. So-and-so has come. And now everybody must be at his beck and call. And everybody must be at edge. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the most humble person, entering the home in that utmost humility, not demanding any kind of recognition and any kind of, whereas he had been blessed with that maqam and position by Allah Ta'ala, where he deserved every, and everybody was ready to give it and waiting to give it. They won't even know when he needed that help. He did it himself. Now the whole sirat is filled with examples, no time to get into any more. But just as we said, less than a glimpse. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he has now been appointed the Khalifa. And now he also was earning a living. Up to that point there was no, he's the first Khalifa and first Amirul Mu'mineen. So now the next morning he's been appointed the Khalifa, he's going to the marketplace to continue. He had to sell his whatever cloth that he wanted to sell to now earn something for the family, for their livelihood. But now as he's going, but now he's been appointed the Khalifa the day before. So one young child is standing outside the house, and prior to having been appointed the Khalifa, he used to regularly go and milk the goats for the people. Now this was a very menial thing, but out of khidmat, that tawazu and humility. Now he's become the Khalifa, he's become Amirul Mu'mineen, and he's heading to the bazaar to go and just sell his goods. So now this little child is standing outside there. He might have been going to their home from time to time and helping them out as well. So she's talking to some other child and saying, now he is no more going to now milk our goats. Now, subhanallah, he's a Khalifa now. He's Amirul Mu'mineen. And Abu Bakr overhears this. He said, I will still continue doing it. And what I have been, the task that has been placed on me will not change me. What responsibility has been placed upon me will not change me. I will continue doing it. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an is going to Sham to conquer the place. It's now just a matter of now himself going and presenting himself, and they're ready to hand the keys and ready to now surrender. And now he's going as Amirul Mu'mineen and as the conqueror of Sham in that sense. And on the way, there is this patch that they have to cross, muddy water. And he takes his khuf and his leather socks out, puts it on his shoulder, folds up his lower garment, and now he's walking through and he got the rein of his camel. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he said, I wish you didn't do this. You're going to go now. This already, we're just reaching. And the people of Sham, they're going to see you in this condition and they might look down upon you. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I wish somebody else had it. Because he now, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah was a very senior sahabi. When the first Khalifa was being chosen, Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he suggested either appoint Umar or Abu Ubaidah. But they said, no, you are going to be the Khalifa. But he suggested one of the two. This was the rank of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. So Umar Nano is, in recognition of that rank, he's saying to him, I won't do what I want to do now. I wish it was somebody else who made that statement. I would have made him an example for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would have punished him for that statement. Kunna adalla nas. فَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We were the most debased of all people. But Allah Ta'ala gave us izzat and respect and honor through Islam, through the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. فَمَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّ بِغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. Whenever we will seek honor and respect in anything that is out of Islam, Allah will debase us again. Allah will disgrace us again. He says, this is nothing, no, there's no nothing about this. What's the issue with this? That was his humility. Amirul Mu'mineen, he's walking without any issue through that muddy water and he's fine with it. He's wearing a patch garment. Where it came from that tawazu and humility. Just to wrap up on a few incidents of our Kabir, who also the same legacy that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left behind, and then the Sahaba took, and then the Tabi'een, and through the ages that came to our Kabir, which is so, their whole lives were filled with these qualities. Just to touch on a few of them, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, one of the giants. So, he was one day in Delhi. He had come for some work there, and there were two others with him. his companions, one Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Hassan, Maulana Ahmad Hassan, and somebody else. So now, that night now they had to now went to sleep. So they put his bed on the side so that he's comfortable. And the other two companions, they put their beds on the other side. But now, because they were aside, they didn't realize that they're talking and he can overhear them. But now in that talking, so the one person is saying to the other, he's saying to the Maulana Ahmad Hassan, that tomorrow we have to go for Fajr, we'll go a little bit, that little distance, a certain masjid there. The imam there recites the Quran very beautifully there. So we will go there and make our Fajr there, we'll take Hazrat there to go perform the Fajr Salah. So when he suggested that we will go to this other masjid further down to make our Fajr Salah there, so the Maulana Ahmad Hassan, who was also with there, he replied and said, you're a jahil of the highest order, you. That person calls our Hazrat Kafir, and you want to go and perform Fajr Salah behind him? So now this conversation, Hazrat Nanuti Rahmatullah Ali heard it. He's sitting there, he's lying down there on his bed, and he overheard it. So he, from there, spoke out, and he's addressing this Maulana Ahmad Hassan. He said, I thought you were now an educated person. It seems you are the greater jahil. He said, I thought you were now educated. It seems you are the greater jahil. Does he become uneligible for imamat because he passed a kufr fatwa on me? Has that now declared him uneligible? I regard him as even more pious now, because he would have heard something about me, such a thing which demands that such a person should be declared a kafir. It's a different matter that that was a false information. The false information reached him, but that stirred his passion of deen. So he declared me a kafir based on wrong information. But the passion was the correct passion. Allah knows best what the passion was. But now this is how he is regarding it for himself. Then why must that person be declared ineligible for imamat because he declared me a kafir? He would have heard something, somebody made some story about me, and they said, I said this, or I did this. Now that kind of action or that kind of statements demands a fatwa of kufr. It's another matter that that was totally false. It was unfounded. He says, tomorrow we're going to go there to that masjid, and we're going to make our fajr there. So next morning they went. Now the next morning, in any case, they performed the fajr salah. Thereafter, now people are seeing that there's some visitors here. Some recognizes it, so they came, they started meeting him. So the imam is also seeing, who's this person? He never saw Hazrat Maulana Anantu any time in his life. He heard something, he said, unverified. So now when he asked, who's this? He said, no, this is the person who you passed the fatwa of kufr against. So he was totally embarrassed now. In any case, he also came and made mulaqat, and he now is apologizing that, you know what, whatever I heard. He said, okay, I understand that what you did it out of the true passion. You should have nevertheless found out the truth. You did it out of the passion of deen, but you should have verified it. Subhanallah, end of story. No more discussion about it. Chapter closed. And he went away. Now who can react in that manner? The person who's truly got tawazu in his heart. If that tawazu is missing, impossible. Can't do it. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the fountainhead of this entire silsila. So once one person, he had his own whatever problems, so he didn't give any regard to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi. One day he came there and he's sitting there and he's talking in a very abrupt manner. And then in that process he's saying also, see, I can't see any goodness in you, any perfect, any real excellence in you I can't see. Actually, all your popularity is only because these people, Hazrat Maulana Gangohi, Maulana Nanotvi, have become your murids. That is the reason why you have become popular. But I am astounded that how come they came and took bayat on your hands. I'm really amazed at this and astounded at it. He's telling him in the presence of others sitting there around too, you got no excellence in you. Your popularity is due to these people who have associated themselves with you. But I am amazed and it's really mind-boggling that what these people saw in you. So what was his response? Now very easy to talk about these incidents. To listen to it is even easier too. But to put ourselves in those shoes, at that moment, put ourselves on the spot. You will say, well, if you are blind, what must I do? You can't see anything, you're blind. That's what would be our answer perhaps. He responded and said, you amazed at what made them come to me, I am more surprised than you. You are amazed, I am even more amazed. Now they truly regarded themselves, despite being what they were, but they truly regarded themselves as nobody and nothing. And this is the reality of the tawazu. This is the reality of the tawazu. Person doesn't feel he deserves any kind of preferential treatment over anybody else in any way. Doesn't feel and believes within himself that he is not better than anybody else. It's his conviction inside. It's not just something that he's... Yes, it starts of first takallufan. It starts of his forcing himself to believe it. But the heart is not accepting it. But he's reminding himself, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, everybody is better than me. Daily he's reminding himself. And the heart is still not accepting it. The heart is still saying, no, no, this is not the case. But he continues doing that, and in time the heart starts then getting a little bit warmer to the idea that I'm nobody and nothing. And after going through the mill, after learning about it first, and then learning it, that's another whole process. Someday that becomes a conviction in the heart. Becomes the conviction that this is the reality. Whatever anybody may say and do, but this is the reality. I am nobody, I am nothing. There's so many other incidents. The time has already elapsed. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq on some other occasion. But the point of all this is, the very, very great need to us develop this tawazu and humility. This is the essence of this entire branch of deen known as tazkiyah. This entire branch of deen, tasawwuf. This is the essence of it all. The very great personality, Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh, who was among the senior most khulafa of Hazrat Mahashaf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. He came from a very secular background and person of the world. And now he came in the khidmat of Hazrat Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. His purpose of coming and what he came for. So he didn't come, he said, I came to ask for some wazifas. Wazifas sometimes are regarded as, now if I'm doing some wazifas, I'm done. No matter how I speak, no matter what I do, how I conduct myself, no matter whatever else, I've got my wazifas, mashallah, I'm done. No, he didn't ask for wazifas yet. He didn't say, I've come for some wazifas. He didn't say, I've come for, well, whatever else, I've come to learn some deeper things and so on. All he came and he expressed it in one couplet, Nahi koi aur gharz, tere dar par main laya hu, mita dijiye, main mitne hi ko aaya hu. I haven't come for any other purpose. I have come to be annihilated. So therefore, please annihilate me and totally annihilate me. I have come for annihilation. He understood his purpose. He understood what was the maqsad and the objective of taking the path of tazkiyah and suluk. That this is the most essential thing, to learn to annihilate oneself. And that annihilation is not a pretense. It starts off from deep down in the heart. Yes, man tawada'a lillah tawada' from babi tafa'ul, that's a technical thing. But it initially has some kind of forced action. It's not something that's so natural. But a person forces himself to do what is the dictates of tawazu. But why? So that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased. He's not yet doing it naturally. But to please Allah Ta'ala, not for any other motive. He's forcing himself to do what is the dictates of tawazu. So one time, 10 times, 100 times, 500 times, it's still being forced from within. It's from within is not there, it's being forced to be done. But gradually it starts becoming part of his nature, and gradually it becomes his first nature. Allah Ta'ala give me also this very great quality of tawazu and make me also one of the mutawadi'een and grant us all this very essential quality. Allah Ta'ala bless us with all the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us complete islah and tazkiyah, and Allah Ta'ala bless us with his mahabba in the way that we live with it and die on it as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Zikr for a few minutes and dua. he said, the original.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ya rabbi salli wa sallim naiman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu la ilaha illallah 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu. Allah, 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 la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهد أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. إله العالمين. يا الله most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. يا الله forgive us. يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins. يا الله إله العالمين forgive our families. يا الله forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ya Allah, make us your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us among the Ibadur Rahman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us truly yours, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, for too long we have been the slaves of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove us from the slavery of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your slaves, Ya Allah. Make us your obedient slaves, Ya Allah. Make us your loyal slaves, Ya Allah. Make us the loyal ummatis of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to shun the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. All their styles, Ya Allah. All their fashions, Ya Allah. Their lifestyle, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the behayai and lack of all shame and modesty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that lifestyle, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to shun all this completely, Ya Allah. Enable us to adopt the Mubarak way of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to love His Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us all that which you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Save us from everything you are displeased with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give us the tawfiq of performing our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. In the sunnah manner, Ya Allah. In a way that you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the zeal of ibadat, Ya Allah. Give us the true zeal of ibadat, Ya Allah. Give us the taste of zikr, Ya Allah. The taste of zikr and tilawat, Ya Allah. Give us the ecstasy of dua, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, adorn us with the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the noble and beautiful quality of tawazu, Ya Allah. And all the other beautiful and noble akhlaq, Ya Allah. Remove all the pride, the jealousy, the malice, the arrogance. Ilahul Alameen, all the evil qualities, remove it from our lives, Ya Allah. And that all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove all their illnesses, and Ya Allah. Grant them complete cure, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Those in any kind of difficulties and hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant abundant risk with barakat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. All those in any kind of anxiety, grief, worry, depression, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant itminan and sukoon to the hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, hardship, pain,
Allah, you remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Allah, grant itminan to the heart through your zikr, ya Allah. Through your obedience, ya Allah. Bring us all onto your obedience, ya Allah. Bring the entire ummah onto your obedience, ya Allah. Allah, grant us the tawfiq of all those actions that bring down your rahmat, ya Allah. Save us from all those actions and the entire ummah, ya Allah. Save from all those actions that bring down azab, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, oh brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them afiyat, ya Allah. Grant them afiyat, ya Allah. Grant them afiyat, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, you protect them, ya Allah. You safeguard them, ya Allah. Grant them victory over their enemies, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you give hidayat to the enemies as well, ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, ya Allah. Allahumma zalzil aqdamahum wa anzil bihim ba'saka alladhi la tarudduhu anil qawmil mujrimeen. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت إله العالمين يا الله Allah, you keep us steadfast on iman till our last breath, ya Allah. Take us on perfect iman, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Raise us on the day of qiyamah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, with Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the sahaba ikiram, ya Allah. Ya Allah, with all the pious servants of yours, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the water of kawthar from his mubarak hand, ya Allah. Grant us the shade of your arsh on the day of qiyamah, ya Allah. Give us jannatul firdos without any reckoning, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands to this dua, fulfill each one's jais needs, ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, ya Allah. Grant afiyat to each one in their deen and dunya, ya Allah. Ya Allah, our greatest need is to become yours, ya Allah. Make us yours, ya Allah. You become ours, ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله